So with having said that, I want to apologize in advance. My wife and I are trying to meet many of you. This is my second Sunday here at Kingsway Christian Church, and I don't know all of your names, and we've not had a chance to maybe connect in a way that I can remember, and I'll probably have to ask you your names. So one of the things that we're doing is that we're moving to different spaces in the auditorium to sit each week. So if you come here some Sunday and I'm sitting in your seat, I apologize for that in advance. Find another seat, please, or we can move over or whatever. But we are trying to meet some of the different people in the different neighborhoods that exist. And I recognize that when you come to a church, you kind of find the spot that you feel comfortable with, and you tend to sit there all the time. And so we want to meet the people in your neighborhood. So we may come sit in your seat. And please forgive us in advance. And then introduce yourself so we can remember. And you can say, hey, that's my seat. And we will remember that next time. So here's the other thing, and I don't apologize for this. We are going to have some gatherings just to help Carol and I get to know the church family, to hear your stories, to learn a little bit about Kingsway. We're going to have some gatherings. I'm going to call them Engage. It's an opportunity for me to engage with you, Carolyn and I to engage with you, to hear your stories, for you to engage in us in a better format than Sunday mornings allows. And so you'll get an email this week that'll invite you to come to either a small breakfast before church at 8:30 on Sunday morning, or stay late after church for a light lunch afterwards, or to participate in a Wednesday evening dessert that we'd have together. We're hoping the 15 to 20 people would be able to come together. We'd like you to pick one of those. Please do, when you get the email, don't just throw it in the trash. Pick one of those days that might work for you and your family, because that's the way that allows us to be able to get to know you over a meal. Jesus did a lot of things over meals, and so we'd like to do that. So this week, we're going to call them Engage, and we'd like to get to know you. I will, in the email, there will be some questions just to kind of prompt some of the discussion that we might do. Some of them are fun, some of them are personal, just you telling your stories. But it'll be a chance for us to get to know each other better, okay? So I apologize for sitting in your seat, and I invite you to come to one of the Engage gatherings. So if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We are in the middle of a series looking at the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, and we're trying to look at how Jesus began his ministry. So I want you to think of this like me as your minister trying to figure out what's the best way to start out a new ministry season together. So I'm going to look at Jesus' model and see what God does when he begins something new. For you, though you're sitting in the same church, in the same pew, the guy up here is different. Some of you have been here long enough that you've seen three different guys up here. And so each person, each of them is different. So you actually as well, though not a lot has changed other than the guy behind the pulpit, things are changing for you as well. And it's very possible, in fact, I believe it's true, God is wanting to do something new in this season ahead of us. And we just need to sense it, pray for it, and then jump in when he begins it. So we're going to look at some principles from Jesus' life and ministry in this very first chapter of Mark. And our goal is to reshape our lives around the gospel mission of Jesus Christ. So your prayer maybe ought to be every time when you come to church, as we're going through this series on Mark, that your prayer, I'd encourage it to be, God, show me if there's something new you're wanting to do in my life and how I can get involved. Okay? Let's pray, and then we'll jump into the scripture. Father God, we give you all honor and glory and praise. You are King of the universe. You spoke the word, and everything came into existence, and you said it was good. But we look at the world around us and we see that there's tragedy, there's pain and suffering, that we do not live in that good world that you originally designed. And yet we get to announce today here in this building and take it out to the rest of the world, we get to announce that you've provided a way for us to find that restoration of relationship with you and the goodness of your grace. We get to find a way where our lives can be restored from brokenness. So, Father, would you captivate us with that mission? And would you help us to share that story? And whatever way you want to change us this morning, would you give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to us? And then would you give us a heart that's ready to put it right into practice? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I told you last week that in the book of Isaiah, God speaks to Isaiah about 700 years before Jesus is born and before John the Baptist comes onto the scene that we're going to study today. And before Mark, who writes this gospel, 700 years before that, Isaiah speaks this word to the people of Israel. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So I just want you to understand something. Though you may feel like God has stopped doing his work and his next work is going to be when he sends Jesus to return, I want you to know God is doing new things all the time. In fact, over this last week, I was reading a number of scriptures that talking about new things. And one of them comes from Lamentations chapter 3, where God says, I'm giving you new mercies every day. And I think, oh, man, I missed some this week. I didn't notice the mercy moment this week. Every day in your life, God's doing something new in your life to demonstrate his grace and his goodness and his good plan in your life. And I think often in my life, I do not perceive the new thing he's doing. Do you agree? When was the last time that you sensed, oh, God had a special blessing for me today? He had a special conversation that I was able to participate in because these two paths cross just right now. I just want to say it can happen every day. God's doing something new every day. Don't you perceive it? And I have to say no a lot of times. But I want to say, God, I want to perceive it more. I want to participate in it more. So I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. In the prophecy that that Isaiah spoke, he said, God's going to do a new thing, make a way in the wilderness. So I want you to read about a guy who comes forward as a prelude to Jesus actually coming. Now, the good news thing that God's going to do is really about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, about the gospel and good news that he provides. But before Jesus even comes on the scene, Mark says there's another guy who comes on the scene, and he's really weird. You've heard about him. I asked my kids they said, what are you preaching about Sunday? I said, I'm preaching about a guy who dressed weird and ate weird food. I said, oh, the guy who ate locusts and wild honey, and he dressed in camel's hair, and he lived in the wilderness. I want to read his story because Mark intentionally chooses not to tell about the birth of Jesus in his gospel. He's telling the beginning of the good news about Jesus, and as the beginning is about ready to happen, somebody unique comes on the scene. Listen to this passage of Scripture. I'll start with verse 1. It's probably not going to be on the screen. But verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 2, Mark says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So let me really quickly look at that, what we just read. 700 years before John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, comes onto the scene, God prompts Isaiah to predict him and his ministry. And John's role is to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And John's birth, if you remember, John's birth was very unique. His mom and dad, Zachariah and Elizabeth, were very old. She was past childbearing age. And they had been praying for years to have a baby and had never had a baby. Her womb had been closed. I don't know if she'd had miscarriages. I don't know what the story was like, but she had never had a child. And God told Zachariah one day, "Zachariah, don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard by the Father. And Elizabeth is going to have a child." Now, they were old enough that it was like, really? I think we're past that now. I don't think that's going to happen. And God says, no, this is the one that was predicted. And he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And Zechariah, who knew the prophecy of Isaiah, senses God's about ready to do something new. Now, Zechariah didn't believe God could really do this. He says, so what sign are you going to give me? How will I know that this is really going to happen? And the angel said, well, I've come from God's presence to tell you this, but since you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to talk. You're going to be mute till the baby is born. So he, for the 9 months, he can't speak, can't utter a word. He has to write on note cards. They didn't have note cards. Clay pots or whatever he wrote on to give his message. Or he learned sign language. He had to learn sign language. And he communicated with his family that way. But on the day that John was born, Zechariah spoke into his new son's life. And he said, you're going to be a great prophet for the Lord. Because the Messiah is going to come, and you're going to prepare the way for him. Now, Zechariah, Isaiah, Elizabeth sensed there was something special going to happen in this young boy's life. Because 700 years before, God had said he was going to do a new thing. He would send a prophet. And in Zechariah's old age of his life, God says it's going to happen in this unlikely situation. So I want you to know something. I've heard Raleigh, who is the former minister here, I've heard Raleigh use a phrase using the word Omaha. The meaning for the Indian meaning for the word Omaha is upstream. Is that right? And he talks about in the Bible how God is working upstream, which actually means he's working before the need actually arrives in your life, right? So I just want to reemphasize that this passage of Scripture says that's true. God is working before you even get to the events that you're happening. God has spoken things in Scripture that are going to play out in your life right now. And if you don't know the Scriptures, you're not going to recognize when those new thing moments happen. So you need to know the Scriptures so that you can be aware when something that God said, you say, I don't think that's happening now in my life. And then all of a sudden you say, it's happening. God's word is coming true. It's real. It's alive. And it's bearing fruit right now in my life. So I encourage you, God has given you a book to help you to understand the things, the prelude, his promises, his predictions, his promises that are true in your life. And the more you know this, the more you will be alert when those answers start to come. So God is at work before you. Now, I want to say a couple other things about that. God does that in Scripture, but I also God does that in churches and in individuals' lives. We have four children. We'll tell you more about our kids in the Engage gatherings. But our second child is a girl named Brielle. She and her husband used to serve at this church as a worship minister. And Brielle's name means, we gave it to her, meaning strong in the Lord, or the Lord is my strength. Bri means strong, and El is the Hebrew name for the Lord. The strong in the Lord, or the Lord is my strength. But if you know Brielle, she's timid. She's shy. She didn't initiate things. And yet we kept praying in her name over her that, God, you're going to make her a strong woman. And I remember when she started to play for the worship band in her high school and play keyboards. And she was so scared to death, to be honest. She doesn't like any attention on her. But she started to play, and I thought, God, you're bringing her name into reality for her life. She's doing this because she came back from a youth conference that made her convinced she should use her gifts for God's glory. And as much as she hated the stage, she was going to help lead worship. I remember when she started to catch a fire for a ministry for women who are far from God. And my little timid Brielle got the strength of the Lord in her, and she started to go into dance strip clubs to try to reach women who will never come to church but desperately need to know the gospel of Jesus. And I think, my timid Brielle, who doesn't want to call us because she thinks she's interrupting our life, is going into dance clubs to try to share the gospel of Jesus with people who don't know Jesus. What gave her that strength? Well, I just want you to know, sometimes in your life, prayers that other people prayed over you start to come into fruition. The Holy Spirit starts to move, and new things start to happen because somebody was praying for you. I think there's some things that God wants to do in this church that are prayers that people prayed when they began this church, when it started over 33 years ago. That there were some prayers prayed as this new group of people started to gather together to be able to proclaim the gospel to lost people and to help people find their way back to God. I wonder if some of those prayers have yet to be answered, because God was working a prayer in somebody's life, and he's going to bring it out into fulfillment in our generation, in our time. We get to live it out. We get to see those prayers answered. So I just want you to anticipate, God has been at work before you get on the scene here. And some of the stuff he's going to do, the new stuff, is because he made a promise, or somebody made a prayer request, or somebody prayed prayers in something that wasn't currently in that situation, but God, they believed God could bring it into that situation. So let me say this quickly. Is it possible that some situation you're in now, or somebody you know now, is in a situation that is not God's best for them? It's not what God wanted. And maybe they even know what God's plan would be or what they ought to do, but they've been resisting it. And I'm just going to encourage you, Scripture says, keep praying. Bring those things to the Lord, because God has ways to turn those things. And even if it's not happening yet, keep praying. Bring in that thought before the Lord's throne, because I believe there's a day when God's going to answer that, and your heart's going to feel so great because you were praying it in faith before it actually happened. And God's not going to do it because of your prayers necessarily. He's going to do it because it's his desire, but he wants to hear his children praying for those things to come into reality. Now, let me ask this situation. I don't know if you are a compliant person or tend to be a little bit rebellious. Do you tend to, when somebody sets a boundary, do you tend to push to the boundary or a little bit beyond the boundary just to see if the consequences actually happen? Or are you a compliant person who sees the boundary and hears those things and you follow in? Parents, I know you have kids that probably represent one or the other of those realities. I want you to think of what it must have been like for John the Baptist. He's growing up in a home. He's reading these scriptures. Every time they read in Isaiah and they get to that verse 43:19, and the verse that talks about the prophet coming before the Lord, making a way in the wilderness. And his mom and dad said, John, that's your verse. That's the verse God gave us about your life. Now, I don't know what John might have been like. I think he's a strong-willed person. One of the verses says he grew up in strength of will. Because maybe the job he was going to have to do was going to require that. But I just want to think, what was it like for John to hear that, to sense that God had that plan for his life? And would he submit to it, or would he resist it? And I just want to say this to us. There are things that God has planned for your life, and when you see those things start to be revealed, sometimes they will scare you to death. And I just want you to say you're going to put your trust in the one who's spoken those things over you. The words of Scripture that he says will be fulfilled in your life. And I want to encourage you, surrender, step in, participate with it. Because God's been at work before you to prepare for this opportunity for you to decide to say, I'll engage in what God's wanting to do. But there's a point of crisis at that moment. Will you surrender or will you resist? So let's keep reading. John, verse 4. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Wild honey, that's okay. I don't mind that. But the locust part kind of freaks me out. So let me just make some statements about this. John obviously said yes to this new thing God was doing. John went in full board to what God was going to do. So he all of a sudden steps out into the wilderness. Now, if I'm writing the story for Jesus' preparation for him to come, I would probably put the prophet in Jerusalem, around the temple, where all the people were at. But God says, no, I'm going to send the preparer. I'm going to send him to the wilderness. And I want him to do his ministry in the wilderness. And the people who are starting to hear are going to come out to see and hear this message of this unique guy. And I don't know if God said, John, you're going to have to do these things. I think John was kind of this, next week is Father's Day. I think John the Baptist was kind of your man's man. He was a wilderness type guy. He loved that type of stuff. And so showing he could live out in the wilderness and follow God with gusto, that was what he was going to do. And people came out to look at this camel-haired guy and watch him eat and hear him preach. And they made decisions. They decided to repent of their sins and be baptized. John was having a remarkable impact. But it was in the wilderness, not in the city. So let's make an application here. God is at work through you. God is at work through you. Not just before you, but God is at work through you. And he will sometimes place you in places that don't seem like they're the prime place for his work to be accomplished. So, some of you kids just got out of school. I don't know what it's like to be a follower of Jesus in your school. But I'm just going to guess it's hard. You are one of a few people that are trying to live your life like Jesus. And there's an awful lot of people choosing to live the other way. And I bet sometimes when you think of trying to live your faith and you have great discussions about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus at church and in your youth group, And then you think of going to school the next day and you think it's a wilderness. This is not where I want to go. I'd rather hang out at church and go to a conference and go to a youth trip or do a missions trip. But this is hard. Some of you adults may live in a workplace that's that way. And when you think of places that give you life and energize you, it's not your workplace or the coworkers around you. But for some reason, God's placed you in a wilderness. And I want you to know, He's prepared in advance for you to have that location. Because I believe He wants you to be the messenger, the one who will prepare the way for whatever God might want to do in that arena. And you're supposed to live the messenger. You're the front wave. You're the icebreaker. And you've got to live confidently that you're going to be different. You can't be bothered by ridicule by other people because you are living out a role God gave to you to help prepare the way for the Lord, to help make straight paths for people to find Jesus and for Jesus to be able to engage in their life. Now, let me say one more place, and my time is up. Let me say one more place, okay? One more place where I believe God wants us to help prepare the way. Sunday mornings at church. I was helping a church go through a search process, and two candidates that they had identified were probably their top candidates were going to make a secret visit to their church, to this church. And one came in, and nobody greeted him at the door. When he got in, the people at the doors who were ushers and greeters were talking to somebody else, and nobody handed them a bulletin. Nobody visited with them. They got into the auditorium, and nobody talked to them. They sat in the pew to the end of the service. People greeted them during the greeting time, but after the service, nobody talked to them. Nobody invited them out to eat. And they left. Now, they came back for an interview, but they said, our Sunday there was like a wilderness. They didn't know we were the next preacher. They didn't know us, we were a candidate for the preacher, but if they did, they might have treated us differently. But it was good for us to see, what does a stranger in this church feel like? And I just want to say, sometimes visiting a church is like a wilderness. It's going to someplace you don't know anybody else. If you're like my daughter, you're scared to death to go in. You're scared that they might talk to you, and then you're afraid that nobody will talk to you, that something that maybe you didn't look right or whatever might be the situation why nobody talked to you. One of the ways you can help prepare the way for the Lord is on Sunday mornings. And greet people who are new to the church. And you may have to take the embarrassing to find out, are you new here? I just want to introduce myself. And they may say, no, I've been here for a year. So you have to be comfortable with hearing that. But say, well, man, I'm glad I finally met you. I don't know how I haven't met you. We've been here at this church for about 3 years. And I just want to thank you. How did you find this church? Do you have time today to go out for a meal? We'd like to get to know you better. Or somebody new that you've not met who's a first-time visitor, and if they got three invitations for different people to go out to eat after church, what would they think? This is a place that is inviting us in because there's something they want us to catch here. And it's not that they like to take people out to eat. It's that they want to prepare the way for the Lord to do His work in their life. I want to ask you, would you step into this? Would you participate? Say, hey, wherever God has me, I'm going to do the work of the Lord. Now, on your bulletin, there's a third thing, and I don't have time to talk about it. But the third thing is that God is working after you. Is that when you plant seeds in other people's life, God will bear fruit. And you have no idea whether the guest that you invited or the friend that you talked to at work or the neighbor that you visited with about your church, whether that conversation may turn the tide in their life and God gets to start doing a new thing in their life. So here's the challenge today. Every one of us are not the main thing about what God's doing in the church. Me, the new minister, I'm not the main thing. I'm pointing to the main thing, who's Jesus. Oh, you can't see the cross behind the screen. I'm pointing to the main thing. You are not the main thing. Church is not all about you. It is about you preparing the way for people to be introduced to the main person, to Jesus Christ. And our role as a church is to play John's role. If there's anything in this new thing, if God wants to do something great and grand and new in our church and in our city through this church, it's going to be because we said, yes, I'll step in to be your messenger. I'll be a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. And today I just want to ask you, would you say yes to that? Would you say that's going to be my identity at school, at work, my neighborhood, wherever I have service or engagement? I'm going to say my role as I'm going in, my role is to be John the Baptist. I'm going to be the messenger for the Lord. I'm going to be the witness for the Lord in this difficult place. Parents, with your kids, start speaking into their lives about who you know God's created them to be by their unique personality. And when they go to school, say, you're God's warrior here. You're God's light in this school. Shine brightly. I wonder if there's things that God has planned in this next season for Kingsway. And I wonder if they're bigger than we can even imagine. But I wonder if it all depends on our decision to say, yes, I'll play that role. I'll be that messenger. I'll point people to Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father God, I am so thankful that you've given us an opportunity to play that role, that prophecy about John the Baptist actually is a shadow promise. It casts its shadow over our lives today, thinking of the places where you've placed us. And God, sometimes we've not shined brightly. We've been reluctant to go into some of these difficult places. We've maybe hid our light here in the building where it's easy to shine. And you're wanting us to live differently out in the world. And somehow help people find their way back to you. Somehow to give hope to somebody else who's hopeless and to introduce them to the one who can give them hope. So, Father, I don't know how you're going to do that in our lives, but I just pray as a shepherd and servant in this congregation, I pray that you would move by your Spirit in all of our lives, that we would say yes to that role. That before you do your great work, you would hear from us our willingness to be one who prepares the way for you, makes the ground ready, so when the work of God starts to happen, we can celebrate, and you can celebrate because we've prepared your way. So, Father, we just ask you to do that, exceed our expectations, and we offer our lives to you like John, to fulfill that role. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up here. And every time the word of God is spoken, I believe there's an answer or a prompting that the Holy Spirit may want to do. So there's a couple things I want to say. If you're in a situation in your life where you're currently in a wilderness type situation, you're not sure what it's like for how do I try to be a John the Baptist in this difficult situation, if you'd just like somebody to talk to and to pray about that, we're going to have Elder and his wife back in the back. And we'd encourage you to come back and stop over and talk with them. They'll pray with you. They'll talk a little bit about their situation, maybe identify some next steps. If you've never made a decision for Christ, and somebody has been preparing the ground for you, but you've never made that decision to say, yes, I'm in. I need Jesus to save me from my sins. I need to repent of the life that I've been living. I do believe Jesus can make my way right and straight. If you've never made that decision, would like to make that decision, I invite you to come forward as we sing this last song. Somebody will be up here with you to talk with you about that decision. And then if you, in your seat, know that you've never really said yes to living out the role of John the Baptist, to be a voice for God in a difficult place, and you'd like somebody to pray with you for that, I encourage you to come forward and say, somebody will be here to pray with you about how you could live out that role and say yes to that. Let's stand together and sing.